This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Say, good morning. Welcome to everybody. So, those of you who don't know me, my name is Ruan Mokka. This is not... I'm not a preacher, but sometimes when the pastors go on holiday, I need to say something about it. No, I'll say something about the word. We'll leave the pastors out of it. This morning, I'm bringing the message, and the title of the sermon is Remember. So, you know, sometimes it affects young and old, you know. There's always this tendency to think old people forget, but I'm relatively young, but I still forget, you know, a lot of things. But I have this old lady I see quite often, and she always says that her memory is very, very, very good. It's only very, very short, but at least she remembers. So... I think that's spectacular. The other thing that about memory, which is amazing to me, is how, you know, certain scents or, you know, smelling something, you know, it just brings back these memories, you know. I shared in the first service, you know, that sometimes these memories are things that you'd rather forget. You know, we all have a history. And so, but these days it's very... fashionable to use coconut oil, you know, in pans and stuff like that, instead of sunflower oil because of all the trans fatty acids and things like that. But you know, that smell of that coconut oil reminds me of the suntan lotion we used when we were younger. And you know, being a young guy, you know, it reminds me of you know, a lot of things. Sometimes it reminds me of peroxide hair, you know, sometimes it reminds me of things. But yeah, you know, it's things that you'll rather forget. The word says that you'll be ashamed of things that you were once proud of, you know, and it is sometimes the truth. I don't know if you guys have any memories like that, but all right, so... if you have your Bible here or app on your phone, open it at Luke 24. We're going to go through the whole Luke 24. It's an amazing part in the Bible. It's such a central thing in our Christian faith that you shouldn't miss this. We'll be reading from Luke 24 verse 1. We won't give everything in one go. You know, it's when it's so hot like this, we might take a water break in between just to refresh and replenish. Thank you, Divan, just put the fan on me. So if you want a bit more cool air, you know, the front seats, they're the coolest. All right. Luke 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest." So you can see in Scripture, there's two places in this piece of Scripture, there's two places where the word remember is used. And traditionally, we think about being able to remember as a specific definition. I went to the trouble to look up the definition of the word remember. And The first part I gave, I believe, is how we often and traditionally think of the word remember. And it says to have in or be able to bring to one's mind an awareness of someone or something from the past. To bring something into remembrance. All right, some from the past, an awareness. And you know, Scripture is full of people remembering. You know, just if you think of Nehemiah, you know, he remembered that there was a law given through by God. And when he read the law, you know, he was moved to action because he remembered what the promises were that that God gave them. And he was moved to action. And he was so greatly moved to action, him and Ezra, you know, they pulled out the beard from their faces. You know, so women go through a lot in life, but they don't tend to go through having beard pulled out of your face. That's quite sore, I'm just saying. You know, so they were really in agony about what they remembered. And the question immediately comes up then is, what do we remember? You know, in our quiet time with God, do we remember, or are we so obsessed with the here and now, the situation we're currently in? Or are we so perplexed about that which is to come? You know, because oftentimes the world, you know, we're just in the world, which is fallen, obviously, and we get ourselves into situations where we are overwhelmed with the thought of that situation, whether it's currently financial or relationship-based or anything you can think of. Sometimes that situation now just takes over, and we forget to remember. Remember those times that Christ came through in that financial pressure you had, in that relationship where God came through. We tend to forget because we are so overwhelmed with the here and now, and especially as well with that which is to come. You know, some of us have small children. We think, you know, we need to raise them. You know, how is the school system? How is the, you know, authority systems and all these things? And you think about what is to come. And you forget about the faithfulness of God. David, in so many times in the Psalms, he reminds himself of the faithfulness of God. Just imagine, I mean, his son wanted to kill him. And he loved him so much. It was such a perplexed situation. He was so traumatized to a certain extent that the only thing that renewed his strength was to remember God, to remember his faithfulness. In God's strength, he received his power. In God's love, he received peace. And I think that's something we need to work into our quiet times. We need to work in times of remembrance. Because even Israel, you know, the Israelites, the Jews, to this day, you know, they start the day off with remembering. They remember how God took them through the Red Sea. They start the day off with remembering God's faithfulness. And you know what? We are all flesh. You know, and I've said this before, you know, even the Israelites, 3 days after they went, they passed through the water, they said, no, we would have rather stayed in Egypt. You know, there at least we had some meat. You know, 3 days. We're talking about that event now for thousands of years. We're bringing it into remembrance. We're remembering that act, but we quickly forget. As soon as a situation comes up, how quickly do we forget? But this is not what happens to God. In Scripture, it states 73 times that God remembered. God remembered. Now, I can with a very clear conscience tell you that God does not forget. The second part of a definition or to remember, of the word remember, is to do something that one has undertaken to do or that is necessary or advisable. Every time the word in Scripture is used, God remembers. He calls himself into action to fulfill a covenant he had with his people. To fulfill a covenant. To do something that he had undertaken to do. God doesn't forget you. My question, the question that is forced upon us now is, what do you remember? What was the last thing God told you? What was it? We hit this plateau, or we feel we're backsliding, or it's so important to come back to this point of, what did God tell you? What was the last thing he told you? And I must be honest, it's not always an audible voice. I don't think I've ever heard an audible voice of God. I might, the fear of God may fall upon me and I might lie on the ground like the dead, you know, as it says in Scripture. I think it's a magnificent thing to hear the voice of the Almighty. But, you know, that thing that he puts in your spirit that you are so sure of, it cannot be shaken, the truth that God has put in your heart. What was the last thing he told you? And if you say, but you don't experience that, you know, we have his word. What God tells you is in the word. In John 14, verse 26, it says, I will give you the comforter, and he will bring unto remembrance that which I've told you. What is God bringing into remembrance with you? Can you remember the promises of God? When you think of the promises of God in Scripture, do you suddenly get this bullet point levels of promises of God? Or do you find yourself searching in your mind? What is it? What is the thing that God promised us corporately and individually? When you find yourself searching and struggling to remember, you must understand that the comfort that the Holy Spirit has come to bring unto remembrance. If we're struggling to remember God, we need to start searching for, are we giving the Holy Spirit the reins? The word says, do not quench him. God will bring unto remembrance. But you know, it's difficult. It's very, very difficult. When you're in a situation where you've been hurt, when all you can remember is this situation where somebody hurt you, where you were displeased, where you, just looking for the right word, where you were disappointed. Disappointment is a killer of relationships. It's difficult to remember God's goodness and remember God's faithfulness when something that you remember is about death of a loved one. It's difficult. When remembering something that haunts you is greater than remembering the last situation Christ helped you with, it's difficult. But we're going to deal with that. Read your Bible. If you want to know what to do, if the Holy Spirit is going to bring into remembrance that what God told you, it will be out of his word. Read your Bible. Let's read our Bibles. Luke 24, verse 19. And he said to them, what things This is Christ walking with the disciples. What things? He forces them to think, to remember what things. And those things are. And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was the prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and all the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? How can you not remember what the prophets have said? That Christ should enter into glory. There's going to be a golden string I'm going to thread through all these topics we're going to talk about. You'll see at the end, but I want you to bear with me. What do you think when you think of glory? You know, in Afrikaans, it's called heerlikheid. So food is heerlik, you know? So if I think of glory in Afrikaans words, since immediately I'm a bit hungry. Just because the year licked off on, you know. I always tell my wife, I'm a man and we like to eat. And we like to eat meat, you know. I always tell my wife, you know, I love meat and I love vegetables. But you know, meat, you can have it on its own. But vegetables, you can't have on your own. It needs to be accompanied by meat. So, if she doesn't want to cook, she can just make meat, because that's fine on its own. But yeah, she doesn't fall for that, unfortunately. Where was I? Glory. So, glory in English doesn't bring that, obviously. You know, so, when you think of glory, you think of, I think of this splendor, this light, this shining, this brightness, this awe-inspiring brightness. But again, you know, I just went through the dictionary and just had to have a look at what it means. A very great praise, honor, or distinction bestowed by common consent. And this is quite interesting. You have to remember that Christ was not praised prior to the crucifixion by the world. The Gentiles had no Savior, and Israel was hopeful. When it says God, Christ had to go through these things to enter into his glory, it gives us this command to praise his name. When we think of how Christ suffered, we cannot withhold worship from that thought. It's our obligation as Christ entered into glory to bring glory to his name. You know, it's in Scripture it says that the prayers of the saints is like incense in front of God the Father. The prayers are incense. You know, it brings unto remembrance the prayers of the saints. I just immediately think back at the rainbow. We talked about God remembering. And why did God give us this rainbow? He says, I'm giving you this rainbow as a sign to remember what I have promised to the whole world. So sometimes we do not need to pray for the rain, but we need to pray for rain so that we can see a rainbow, so we can remember, so that God can remember. Because I must be honest, you know, the world as it is today, I cannot think it's much better than in the time of Noah. To think of God's glory as He enters, what He has done to enter into glory forces us to worship. And this is what we've received, this ability to worship. The second part of what the dictionary says is the splendor and bliss of heaven. I think that is quite straightforward. You know, I think heaven is pretty amazing. There are going to be things in heaven we have not ever experienced in our lives. And there will be things we've experienced in our lives now that will not be present in heaven. Suffering. You know, hate. All those things we experience, it will not be present there. The bliss and splendor. But the third one is resplendent beauty or magnificence. A state of great splendor, magnificence, or prosperity. This is the one thing that never stopped. In heaven, Christ sitting on the right hand of God has so much splendor that heavenly beings cover their eyes because they cannot see it. The glory of God is so great that they cannot look at it. Elders fall to their knees, throwing their crowns, exalting God and giving Him praise. Why would we want what He asked the disciples? Why would you not want me to suffer? Because if I do not do that, I will not return into the glory. But it is difficult. It's difficult when you're hurting. It's difficult when you're disappointed. It's difficult if you have unforgiveness. It's difficult to remember the glory of God. His glory fills this earth. When I am in anger, I struggle to see the splendor of God around me. I struggle. But we'll get to that. Luke 24, verse 36. Now as they said these things, Jesus Himself, these are the disciples, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts?" The definition of peace is inherently not totally, you can't gel it with what Scripture tells us. One of the definitions are that it is a place of non-warring. I didn't know a word like that existed, but anyway. But non-warring, we'll get to Scripture and this in a moment. A state of mutual harmony between people or groups, especially those with personal relations. A freedom of the mind from annoyance, distraction, anxiety, and obsession. Christ said, "Peace to you." He didn't say, yeah, some peace if you want it, you can have it. Or here's a small amount of peace just to take the edge off, you can have it if you want it. Christ said, "Peace to you." The Creator of the universe said, take it. He has peace. How is it that we feel we've got, we can, we have a decision we can make? When God says, do this, why do we think we have an option? Christ said in John 14 verse 27, peace I give you, peace I leave to you, but not as the world gives it. Because we know there's a war outside. It is not non-warring. We do know that we do not have a freedom of mind sometimes. God places things in our heart that bring us to anguish. He convicts us of things that we need to do, but we still receive peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. When there's a war outside, we have peace. And why is that? Why are we still frightened? Why are we still anxious? Why are we still troubled in our spirit when God says, I bring you peace. I give you peace. Peace to you. There's sometimes things in our past that torture our spirits, our souls, you know, our minds, you know, it haunts us. Things that we've done. And you know what? The devil comes with that old lies and he says, you know, you previously struggled with this. You know what? I'll just drop that into your conscience. It's when we do not remember, that's when we fall in this trap. Because you struggled with something, you met Christ and you are a new creation. You are new. Nothing of the old. The devil comes with his old lies and wants you to believe it's still chronic. You still have that issue. But I'm sorry, my friend, it's not. Don't believe it. But it's difficult to have peace when you're disappointed. It's difficult to have peace when you're hurting. It's difficult to have peace when you're longing for a loved one. It's difficult. But God is faithful and the scriptures are faithful when we're getting to that. Luke 24, verse 39. Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you and I have. Verse 46 says, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high. They were still fearful. They were still anxious. They were frightened. And God, what does Christ say? Look at my hands. What did they see when they looked at his hands? They saw holes. They saw holes. They saw the war that Christ went through. They saw the torment that Christ went through in his spirit in the Garden of Gethsemane. They saw Christ. They saw his hands. Christ was hurting. He was hurting unto death. When we disappointed him, he chose to die. He chose to die so we might live. When they had fear, God said, "Look at my hands." And he blessed them. Christ blessed them. He didn't only lift up his hands, his open hand, indicating peace, which is peace that he leaves to us. He not only lifted his hand and blessed to remember, to bring unto remembrance the promises that he left with us, but he lifted his hands so we can see the scars. Luke 24, verse 50. And this is important. This is the golden strand. This paragraph is very, very important. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. While he was blessing them, he was taken away. What is the last message you will give your loved ones? If you are on a ship moving away from those ones you love and you have one sign, you might not have a board with writing on, but all you have is this one thing to leave them, what would you leave? What would you show them? A lot of us will show a heart. Or write something beautiful on a placard. The last physical act of Christ in the flesh on earth is show them his hands. Remember. Remember. When we're hurting, remember God's hands. When you're disappointed, remember how we disappointed Christ. Remember his hands. We suffer in this world. God promises that the suffering we go through in this world is not even to be compared to the glory that we will receive in heaven. But we will suffer. But I'm telling you, remember. Remember his hands. Reino, can you maybe give me a second? So, I want us to just hand out the communion. The problem we have when we're obsessed with the now and when we are obsessed with the future is we forget to remember. Weigh up that which is haunting you to the glory of Christ. Weigh that up which is torturing your soul to what Christ had come to set us free with. Thursday is Ascension Day. I want you to remember his hands. This is a call to all the dead and disappointed, the ones who feel like they are done. This is a word to all the ones who feel free. John 14, verse 26 to 27. We'll just read it again. But the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send Him in My name. He will teach you all things, and He will remind you of everything. I have told you, peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. This is why Christ ascended. Luke 24:30-31. It was as He reclined at the table with them, He took the bread. Just the disciples did not know it was Christ walking with them. They experienced Him on the way. This is what we read about. Tell me these things, the things of Jesus of Nazareth. He was reclining with them, and He took the bread, He blessed and broke it, and He gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him. What does communion do? It reminds us of God's hands. I'm telling you this morning that we're going to take communion, but I want you to remember Christ, what He's done for you, what He has promised you, and what He has told you the last thing He's told you to do. I want you to remember that. This is not a ritual. This is not a tradition. This is an ordinance. Father God, we just come before You, Father, and we are so willful, Father, You just remind us, Father. Father, we are so reminded of Your goodness, Father. Thank You, Father, for those situations You pulled us through before, Father. Thank You, Christ, for Your hands. We partake of this bread to remember Your suffering. Remember You on the cross. We remember Your hands. Father, Your blood is sufficient for us, Father. In it, Your power is made perfect, God. We have no fear, but we've received peace. And Your blood is the covenant. And Father, remember Your covenant, Father. Help us to remember that which we've promised, Father. Thank You that we partake this as a sign for the remission of our sins. Thank You, Father, that You will remind us, Father. Remind us today. Remind us in this week, Father. Remind us, Father, on a long weekends, Father, remind us on normal weekends, Father, when we're on holiday, Father, but remind us, Father, remind us that we do not forget, that we do not get overwhelmed, Father. Thank You, Father, that You are good, Father, and we have testimonies of Your faithfulness in our lives, Father. Through our hurt, Father, we receive peace, Father. Through our hurt, Father, we remember. Through our hurt, we bring glory because we look at Your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.